The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you. I want you to grab your Bibles and turn to 1 John, where we're going to be for the rest of the summer. So hopefully by the end of the summer, your Bible just falls open to 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. If you don't know where that is, it's towards the back of the Bible, okay? So there's this guy named John. I think he has a really cool name. Okay, there's a guy named John, and he's one of the apostles of Jesus. He wrote the book of John, and if you don't know the book of John is one of the shadiest books in the Bible, because you have, you know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Those are very similar books. They talk very similarly about Jesus and what he did. They talk from different perspectives. Then you get to John, and John adds little facts in there that you're just kind of like, did you need to add that fact for all eternity? Like, here's one of my favorite facts. Ready? When they find out that Jesus had rose from the dead, John decides to run to the tomb, him and Peter. And John puts in the Bible, and the one who Jesus loved, that's how he referred to himself. Oh, the shade. The one that Jesus loved outran Peter. So Peter, you slow. You got dusted on the way to Jesus' tomb. And then the one that Jesus loved waited on Peter to get there. So not only did you dust me, did I dust you, but then I got to wait on you because you're that slow. But when you got there, then we went into the tomb together. Like, it's stuff like that. You're like, John, did you need to put that part in there? Couldn't you just say we ran to the tomb? He's like, no, I smoked him. And I had to wait on him because he's too slow. Like, it was just one of those, like, John, come on, man. So this is the guy, right, who then went on to help lead the church, James and John, the sons of thunder. These guys are the ones that had their mama advocate for them to sit at the right hand of God. And Jesus literally said, oh, you'll get your comeuppance. That's my translation. Basically, he says, hey, you're going to get yours. Don't you wait. Don't worry. It's coming. You're going to get it. And so John went through persecution. This is a guy who they tried to kill in the Roman Empire and didn't die. Every time they tried to kill him, he didn't die. They ended up exiling him to the Isle of Patmos, and he's the only one of the disciples, the OGs, that did not die either by his hand or by the Romans' hands. He died on the Isle of Patmos, exiled after being boiled alive in a vat of oil, and still lived. I'm sure the Romans were sick of this dude. I'm sure they're like, just die already, you know? We are trying to torture you to death, and he's like, I ain't going. And so he wrote these letters to different people, and if you ever read the Revelation, it's an amazing book. Read the book of John. It tells you all about the life of Jesus, and he literally is the one that tells you who Jesus is and how he functions as God in our life, which I love. That's why I always recommend read the book of John. But then you get to these three small letters that you kind of skip over. As you're reading through it, you know, your Bible reading plan, you get to these, and you're kind of like, oh, yeah, 1 John, 2 John. You just kind of go through them. But I think there's so much depth in this. Because when he wrote these letters, he wanted you to grasp some things. And one of the things he says, I want you to actually live your faith out for Christ every day. Every day, I want you to be a genuine believer of Jesus Christ. Everybody say, be genuine. He wants you to be a genuine believer of Jesus Christ every day of your life. That means live it out. It should come out of you. When I cut you, you bleed Jesus, right? When it comes out. And so, like, if you ever know any of the apostles, you ever read about the apostles in the book of Acts, and they go, hey, Paul, if you don't stop preaching Jesus, we're going to throw you in jail. And he's like, man, I get to suffer like Christ did. And they go, we're going to kill you. And he goes, I get to be with Jesus. And they're like, okay, fine. We just shut up about it. We're going to let you go. And he goes, I'm going to keep preaching Jesus. Right? Like, no matter what you do, Jesus came out, right? And that's what John's talking about in these three little books. He says, no matter what you do, where you go, how you live, you should have Jesus coming out of you. No matter where you show up, when people see you, they should go, Jesus. That should come out of you. And that's the reason why they started calling us Christians. Christians means little Christ. It was a derogatory term. It was not something that was supposed to encourage you, like, oh, you're a Christian, like we use it today. It was a term to make fun of you. They used it to make fun of you. They used it the same way that we use other derogatory terms to this day. To be called a Christian was deriding somebody. Yet John says, hey, I want you to hold on to it. And so in the book of 1 John, chapter 1, we're still in chapter 1. We're just going 5-7, verses 5-7 today. And I want to kind of look at this because he starts talking about what it means to be in light and in darkness. Light and darkness. And I was reading this week about Alaska, something that blew my mind. Everybody know the final frontier called Alaska? We bought it from Russia for pennies on the dollar. It's this huge frontier, lots of oil up there. It doesn't make sense for America, but we have it, okay? It is literally half the size of the continental United States. It is ginormous. But one thing that Alaska has, they have a distribution of wealth throughout their system. So all these people in a very red state actually get dividends from all the oil they share, which is kind of cool. But one of the things that they also have is the highest suicide rate in the United States of America. The highest suicide rate in the United States of America. And the reason is because during the wintertime, there is not, and in some places, there is no sunlight at all. Literally, because of the tilt of the earth, the sun never gets above the horizon day and night. And if you know anything about places that don't get a lot of sun, if you go to the Northwest, my best friend lives up there in Portland, Oregon, and they literally have vitamin D lamps. He wakes up to a vitamin D lamp. It wakes up and shines because you get vitamins from the actual sun into your body. And if you live in a place where you see no sun, eventually you get so depressed that people start unaliving themselves. Matter of fact, in Anchorage, the capital, they get, during the wintertime, 5 hours of light a day. I just want you to think of it. 24 hours. That means 19 hours of darkness, 5 hours of light. And they have 67, in northern Alaska, they have an average of 67 days of complete darkness per year. Think about how depressing that can become. Think about what that can do to your mental, your mental awareness. And I've been asked so many times, even this last week, I was talking to somebody in our neighborhood, and they say, why does it matter how I live as a Christian? I was having a conversation with them about their life and what it looks like, and we're talking about living in light. And they just said, what does it matter how I live as a Christian? If I'm saved, I'm saved, right? I got baptized when I was, you know, 8. They dumped me in the pool. I said, Jesus, and everything was good. I'm in. I'm going to heaven. I got fire insurance, right? What does it matter? I looked at her and I said, it matters more than it does, more than you think it does for you. Because people are looking to Christians right now more than ever for us to be real in our decisions with Christ, to walk in either darkness or light. We have the opportunity in this world right now to walk in darkness or light. And there are many of us that are choosing to walk in darkness and claiming that it is light. We're choosing to walk in darkness and claiming that it's light. And a lot of times we make decisions that are sinful, that are antithetical to everything God has already clearly said to us, and we're wondering what's going on, and our Christian life is becoming more and more depressed and down, and we're wondering what's going on. I'm not feeling God. I'm not able to talk to God. I'm not growing in God. Nothing is growing in me, and you're wondering why, because you've spent 67 days in pure darkness. You can't see God. You're going blind without Him. And matter of fact, when you actually get, you ever been in darkness for too long? When you actually get in the light, what happens? It becomes blinding. It becomes blinding. And there's so many Christians I see that have walked in darkness for so long that embrace darkness too much that when they finally get exposed to light, when somebody finally turns on the flashlight, when somebody finally shows the Holy Spirit in their life, they go, ah, and they run back to the darkness because they're so used to it. John is warning us about this. In these passages we're going to read today, he's saying, hey, don't walk in darkness. That's why it matters. You have to walk in the light of Christ. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab your Bibles, 1 John, hopefully you found it by now. 1 John chapter 1, we're going to read verses 5-7. I want you to find that. And once you find it, stand in the honor and reading of God's word. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5-7. And the word says, this is the message that we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, then we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus, his son that cleanses us from all sin. If I were to have everything I'm going to say today in one sentence, will be here on the screen, is this. Living in the light of Christ means repenting, but also means new life by his Spirit. Living in the light of Christ means repenting, but also means a new life by his Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you allow us to walk in light. That you have given us a message that you are light and that in you is no darkness. And when we choose darkness, we choose something that is not is detrimental to our very souls. Help us to flee from darkness as it flees from you. Embrace the light, though it may be harsh, so that we can be genuine in our faith in everything we do. Father, I just ask that you let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' mighty name, we all pray, and all those who agree would say, amen and amen. I got 2 points today. I want to keep it real simple today. But won't you write it down again? That living in the light of Christ, it means repenting, but also means a new life by his Spirit. It's a new life by God's Spirit. That means we must repent from our past and move forward in the presence. And so I just want to break down this passage real quick. There's a couple of quick points I want you to grasp. I think it'll be good for you. Go back to verse 5. Because in order to live in the light, you must, first point, you must allow light to shine. You must allow light to shine. We just read it. It says it. In verse 5, we'll read it again. It says, this is the message we've heard from him to proclaim that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If you're okay with marking your Bibles, I would underline at all. Not a little bit, not at all. Because people go, well, doesn't God have a little bit of? No, not at all. There's no darkness in him. It is made clear that God is light. And sometimes kids, I'll ask the kids questions that, although the answer seems obvious, they still can't get it right, right? Like I'll ask some very simple questions. Like yesterday, I was looking at my dishes, right? And I had this little pitcher that's next to my stove, and we can take the utensils we use all the time. And I took one out, and it had dried meat all over it. So I handed it to one of my kids, and I said, hey, look at this, and tell me why you put it away. And they looked at me, and they said, because it was in the dishwasher. And I'm like, just a very obvious answer there. And I said, well, why is it there? Because I'm trying to get them to, like, observe that it still has dried meat in the crevices, and you guys never scrubbed it out. And now it's sitting on my counter, and that's nasty. Don't do that, right? And so I ask these questions to try to help them understand. And what happens is when I ask adults the same questions, I find that sometimes adults can't give me obvious answers either. What is light? To be honest, I didn't have the answer to that question either until I looked it up this week. But what is light? Like, you know, we go, oh, it's light, light. We see light all the time. But what is light? I looked it up. One of the definitions says this. Light is something that makes vision possible. I like that. I think it was a good definition. Light is something that makes vision possible. I like that. In other words, light makes it possible for us to see. Light reveals, right? Like if you have a dark closet and you open up the door, does the darkness come spilling out or does the light go pouring in? The light goes pouring in, right. Unless you're in some kind of like evil movie, I've never seen you open up something and darkness comes spilling out, okay? If you're in that kind of movie, run, okay? Just run and get out of that household and never go back. Burn it down, okay? We'll talk to insurance people later. Light reveals. To bring something to light is to make it known. And what John is getting here in this passage of Scripture is that God reveals, God exposes. He exposes. God makes it possible to see things clearly. Things are as things really are. He makes your eyes open to see it. And sometimes that's hard. Now, how do you compare light with darkness? Again, I had to look at the dictionary. I have dictionaries. A lot of people don't have dictionaries. I do. I look in the dictionary. And darkness is devoid or partially devoid of light, not receiving, reflecting, transmitting, or radiating light. Simply put, darkness is the absence of light. Light and darkness are opposites, right? They're opposites. In the scripture, light refers to truth and purity and holiness. Darkness refers to error, ignorance, sin, and evil. I think those are fair. I have said that in order to live in the light with Jesus, you have to allow light to shine. But when you realize that you can't do it apart from Jesus, meaning that you must be a Christian and be able to live in the light of God, in fact, a child of God, you are light as a child of God. Whether you allow the light to shine is on you. See, a lot of us have light, it's on, it's shining, and then we do this. Right? We cover it up. Jesus has a light that's coming out of you, and we go, I can't let anybody see that. But no. God says, let that out. But we also know that because some of the places we walk, because that's out, that it's going to affect the people around us. It's going to affect the people around you. You are a city on a shining hill. You are light. It looks different to people. And people, you ever been in a situation where they don't know what to do with you? They're not sure what to do with you? Like, I always tell people, I tried my hardest. Like, I think pastors and comedians are about the only two people on earth that when we get in, like, a travel situation, we don't want to tell people what we do because we know what's coming next. Like, if you're a comedian and you tell somebody you're a comedian, the next question somebody's going to go is, give me a joke, right? That's what happens to them. I feel bad for them, but that's what's going to happen to us. What happens to me when I tell people I'm a pastor is all of a sudden people straighten up. They try their best not to curse. They're filtering everything they say. Everything all of a sudden changes. I mean, it's hilarious to watch people change. Why? Because all of a sudden they see, they know, they have a respect for the light. And they're not sure what to do with it. And what happens is one of two things. Either people will change and begin to conform to what they know is the correct way to handle it, or they'll go to the other extreme and be like, nah, man, boop, 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 and they'll just kind of go and try to offend you and push you away. But that's what light does. Any of you guys ever had surgery before? When you have surgery, or you go in, especially when you go in the dentist's office and they turn that light on, that light can see in the future. Like, I don't know what they have in that light. They put a light in a mirrored little concave thing and they fire it at you. And I mean, light's hot and it's looking into your soul. And I'm like, you can see teeth I didn't know I had. You can see, bones. And I mean, they're shining it. Why? Because they want to see everything. They want to expose everything. They want to open it all up so they can see. Why? Because one of the worst things they can do in surgery is if they get in and they leave something else bleeding, something else broken. They leave an instrument in. Lord, let them not do that, right? They leave something in you that could hurt you further. They want to see everything. Light exposes. Why is it when you hear a knock in the night, you get up and grab your phone? Now that we grab our phones, but some of us still grab flashlights and turn that on. Why do we do that? So we can see. So we can expose. If God is light, and your life away from him has been darkness, and he comes into it, there's going to be a certain modicum of exposure that happens in your life where you're going to now see things and go, oh, that's not godly. Oh, that's not good. Oh, that's not of him. Oh, my goodness, what do I do? You see, allowing the light of Jesus to shine is a choice that you as a Christ follower have to make. You have to be intentional about your decisions when light exposes your sins. You have to either deal with it or you run from it. But you do have a choice. When light exposes the actual sin in your life, what do you do? So many of us will look at it and go, I'll come back to that. We might even find a place to put it, hide it, and put it back in darkness, right? But God says, no, expose it. Open up and show the rest. And what happens when you open that up? It gets ugly in there. I was in my basement this week, which is always a scary place to be. We're about to leave in a bit, and so I was looking through some boxes, it's a kind of a dingy place, kind of damp down there. I try to keep it dry. I was looking through a box, and if you've ever been down in a basement area, you know that you have critters and stuff that sometimes get in it, moths sometimes, spiders and stuff. And so what do you do? I have a flashlight that kind of spreads the area, and I put it on, and I put it on my hat, and I look down in there. Why? Because I'm not going to get bit by a brown recluse. I'm not going to get bit by something and all of a sudden lose a finger. Then I'm down in Brazil like, hey, guys, how you doing, right? I'm not going to do that. Don't want to be that guy. I want to expose it. I want to open up. I want to be careful. When God takes the time to open up the box of your sin, to expose a part of your life that's hard, a part that hurts, it doesn't even have to be sin. It can just be a part that is damaging, a background, an understanding, a situation you haven't talked about in years. And he is gracious enough to expose that to light. Take the time to walk through it. It is not easy. I was told this week by a student that's leaving, she goes, you never give us easy assignments. I said, no, I don't. There's another one. Take the time to walk through it. It hurts, but it's worth it every time because he is light. He's asking you to expose it. Number two, if you're taking notes, write this. John says, if you want to live in the light, you must, I know this is going to sound obvious, you ready? Avoid the darkness. He goes like, man, these are simple points. They are, but we don't do them. I don't know why we don't do it, so I just want to give it to you. I want to kind of beat it in our heads so we all get it. Again, I know you don't believe me, so I'm going to go to verse 6. It says, if we say we have fellowship with him, that's Jesus, and we walk in darkness, we lie. I just want to say that the Apostle John says, if you walk in darkness, if you intentionally choose to walk in darkness, but say you have fellowship with God, you what? Lie and do not practice the truth. I wish he would have found a different way of saying it, but he didn't. He just said it. So when people come to me and go, yeah, but I'm doing this, that, and the third, but I still love Jesus and he knows my heart, which is like the universal thing for I'm going to sin and God's going to forgive me, right? Because I got fire insurance, I can get in. He says, you lie. By the way, never goes over well when I tell people that. When we're having a conversation, and they're just like, yeah, I just love my sin, but I love Jesus. And then I look at them and go, you lie. It never goes over well. But that's what the Bible says. You must avoid the darkness. Now, for some of us, that looks more extreme than others. Okay, I know some people that they can't even like listen to secular music at all. They can't, you know, touch anything but a certain Bible. They can't do, okay, so that's for you. Some of us are on different levels, and we try not to judge those, but we avoid darkness. Now, I'll give you an example. From when I was a brand new believer, I had a very promiscuous past. I mean, very promiscuous past. And I had a friend, and my bestie, he came to me one night, and he's like, I gotta confess. And I said, okay, you know, and so he started telling me about this date he went on with this girl, and I'm like, okay, I know how this goes, you know, and he kept like drawing it out. And I'm going, okay, all right, like, I don't need the whole story. Like, I know what's going on. Let's repent and move on. And then you know where the story ended? He goes, and I rubbed her back. And I need to repent. And I said, you what? He goes, I rubbed her back. And I was like, yeah, okay. You know, coming from my background, I'm like, you rubbed her back. Like, you know, didn't you help her in the car by rubbing her back? Like, I don't know. It seemed like real basic. But for him, that was sin. That was too far. That was too close to the flame. My guy was avoiding darkness at all costs. He said that was too close. I think we need more people like that. That are willing to say, I'm willing to avoid the darkness at all costs. I'm willing to step back and go, I don't even want to do that. Because, man, we're too close. We're the people that want to get too close to the flame. We're the people that want to get our hand in and go, does this hurt? Just a little bit, but that's okay. No, get away. Get away. We want to play with it. And then when we get burnt, we come back and look real stupid. Like, I don't know what happened. Yes, you do. You're holding a piece of flaming wood. What do you think would happen? When we play with flame, it happens every single time. He says, avoid the darkness. And I said this earlier, that living in the light is a choice you make by avoiding the darkness. That's how you live in the light, is avoiding the darkness. We as Christians who believe that we have security as a believer, that you can't be saved, lose it, and get it back. That's what we believe, that you have security as a believer. Once you're saved, you can fall on the boat. You're not going to fall off the boat. You're on the boat. But once you're in, it doesn't mean that you get to run towards the darkness. And I find a lot of believers that are secure in their salvation struggle with this point. Because now we're like, well, I'm in, so God's going to forgive me. everything's good, but it's untrue. Because everything you do in your life affects others' lives. Because there are consequences for walking in darkness. And in those times that you can't see, where you're risking it all, where you're out here struggling, you're injuring other people's spirituality around you. You think people don't see you? You think people don't know? You think when you walk out of that house from the sneaky link that people don't know? You think when they see what's going on your phone that people know, they see more than you ever think they see. This is a lesson I had to learn the hard way, because I'd come home, and I don't know about you, but you know, they say it takes a village to raise a child, and my daddy knew everybody. And I would think I was sneaking around and doing something, and I'd come home, and he'd be like, so why were you down? Is that, well, how do you know that? I told nobody. Nobody saw me. I even learned how to, like, dodge tails, but somehow he would be there. I remember one time we were sneaking off. We were on a place we were not supposed to be, and all of a sudden, like something out of a horror movie, my father's headlights from his truck turned on behind me. And he'd say, boy, you understand that everywhere you go, you represent our name. Christian, you understand that everywhere you go, you represent Christ's name. Everywhere you go, no matter where it is, no matter if you think people know you or not, you are representing Christ's name. Avoid the darkness and stop trying to play with the line. Here's the thing. You can tell the whole world you're a Christian, but the things you do and the places you grow speak so much louder than what you say. The way you walk and talk and live speaks so much louder. Because I know a lot of people that say they're Christian that are doing some ratchet stuff out there. John says, if you claim that you live in the light but choose to walk in the darkness, you lie. This was an examination piece for me, and I play it's one for you also. What in your life are you choosing to walk in darkness in? Where are you choosing to play with that line? What are you putting in you when you watch and you listen? What does your social media say? What are the things that you're choosing to get into that are shaping you in those ways? John says again, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness. Because a lot of times we go, well, I've been doing this. I didn't really know that was a sin. No. Notice he said while. While is intentional. That's a choice. I woke up this morning and chose to go walk in darkness, not in the light. I choose to move in these directions. Now, let me be honest with you for a second. That does not mean that I want you to become a monk and we're not starting a monastery. Okay? We're not asking you to hide away from the world and never be out there and, you know, welcome to the holiness of Soma. We're not doing that, okay? Please don't hear that. But I am asking you to walk in holiness with God in such a way that as you walk and talk and live in the world, that they see it. And when, everybody say when. When you mess it up, you're willing to quickly repent. To get your pride out of the way, because boy, your pride will get in the way, won't it? You know you've messed up. You know you said something at the side of your neck. You know you talked about somebody, and you know you need to go and repent. And instead of going and repent, you're going to be like, well, they deserved it. And maybe they did. It doesn't mean you get to say it. Maybe somebody needs to tell them about themselves, but maybe you can do it in a godly way. Because sometimes people need to hear about themselves in a godly way. In a godly way. So many times we take our chances to tear them down. And I've done it too. So when, as a child of light, we mess up, we repent, and we come back to him. So let me ask you this question. Where are you walking in darkness? Where are you walking in darkness? There are places in your life you may be choosing to walk in darkness. It may be in what I say, what I choose to listen to, what I choose to watch, who I choose to surround myself with. Yesterday, I finished my tenure as a YMCA head coach. I picture my before and after of my guys when they were all little, and now that they're all big, some of them bigger than me, eighth grader going into high school. And here's the part that broke my heart. And I said this to him. I've said this to him probably 100 times. Show me your friends and I can show you your future. And I'm looking at some of them and I can already see their path. It breaks my heart. What about you? In your life in Christ, show me your people and I can show you your spiritual life. Show me the people that you're studying God's worth or not. Show me the people that are discipling you or not. Show me the people that you're choosing to have community with or not. And I can show you your path with Christ moving forward. Very clearly can show you. And I don't say that out of cynicism. I'm not some type of prophet. You don't need to like get a prayer cloth from me or nothing like that. It's just a pattern I've seen over years and years of walking with Christ, of people that tend to isolate themselves or surround themselves with people that aren't edifying them in Christ, and then they're walking in darkness and wondering why they're not growing in Christ. And then find themselves in months and months of darkness and wondering, why do I want to walk away from everything in Christ? I can tell you, you haven't been in the light. You haven't enjoyed the benefits of the light. You haven't grown in the light. As I finish up today, I just want to tell you that we're now getting into the season where everybody's going to want to get outside and get a tan. I'm going to get my tan on. I've told earlier, my wife says this too, I just got to get my one good burn in and then I'll tan, which always cracks me up because that's cancer. Please stop that. But, you know, people just tan and they do their thing. They're going to get outside. They're going to grow. And that's some of the best season for us. That's some of the best season for us to get outside. And I have some of the best memories of just being outside, right? Some of you guys may call it trauma, but my mama used to send me outside and then lock the door. And then you're outside until it was dark. Fend for yourself. You're feral. You know, and that was Gen X. We're all feral. They just left us out there. But part of what the beauty of that was being nourished by God's natural light. Our bodies being nourished by it. Our souls being nourished by it. Some of my best memories are out there. And some of the things that we've even seen from a scientific journal I read this week about the number of kids that are being depressed because they're being affected by the blue light of just looking at their computer screens and their TV screens all day and night. And there's this thing in culture that you hear it over and over. It says, go touch grass. That means get your hind parts outside and touch some grass, right? We're even changing the physical aspects of our body because we all, looking at our phones, are looking down, and so we're starting to develop. Next, we're going to have carpal thumbel probably now instead of carpal tunnel from typing. Our thumbs are doing all the things. People's pinkies are literally starting to morph from holding the bottom of their phone up. Literally, as you hold your phone, I mean, grab your phone, you'll see it. You hold your phone, you put your pinky on the bottom. And people's pinkies are starting to morph physically. We're starting to change because of this. Why? Because we're just not outside. Now, please hear me. There was a commercial when I was a kid that said, it's 7 o'clock, do you know where your children are? Which is a scary commercial that they had to put on TV because people just didn't know where their children were. That's kind of insane to think about in today's world. They had a commercial that said, do you know where your children are? And the answer, honestly, for some of the parents were, no, I have no idea. I hope they have 25 cents they can call me. But the beauty of that was that we actually were forced to get outside. Walking in darkness, finding artificial light, finding artificial ways to support yourself. Does it make my generation, I'm not saying that we're better, because we definitely have our own issues. But finding ways to get in the natural beauty of who God is in your life and letting him pour his light onto you will help you grow in so many different ways. Verse 7. He says this. But if we walk in the light as he is light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The result of walking in light is fellowship. The result of walking in light is fellowship with one another, fellowship with Jesus Christ, therefore fellowship with other believers. Please never forget that the only reason that we can have fellowship with God and the Father is because of the blood of Jesus Christ, that we have that fellowship. When God the Father looks upon his children, he sees the blood of Jesus. And because of that, we can have fellowship. God says, go have fellowship with each other. Be together with each other. And that blood makes us perfect in his sight, which is beautiful. Live in the light of the glory of God. And when you live in that light, you can have fellowship with God. We can have fellowship with each other. And that is the community that draws others in. When you choose to live in the light, guys, John is very clear about this. We can build a community around Christ that would honor him in so many different ways. But in order to do that, you have to avoid the darkness and choose to live in the light. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you give us the opportunity to actually allow our light to shine. That we can avoid the darkness in our life by walking with you. Father, I ask right now that you help us to do that. That you expose the darkness in our life. There are places in our lives right now that we think that we're hiding, that we're not that good at hiding. That we think that we're good at hiding away from you, but right now, Jesus, we need you to hide and expose. And when you do it, it may be painful for a moment, but worth it for a lifetime because we have fellowship with you and fellowship with others. Help us to not live duplicitously, but to be single-minded for you. Thank you, Jesus, that you would allow this. Thank you, Jesus, that you would give us the opportunity to love you and to follow you. Thank you that you would give us the willingness and the ability to be yours. Help us to walk in that light this week, every week, moving forward. For your name and your glory and your sake, we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.